Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Hi, everybody. We welcome you back to Close Up Talk Radio. This is a rare day, a special day for us, and I think you're going to find this really, really an amazing half hour. Let me just ask you a question. Have you ever watched somebody perform or do some speak or whatever they may do, and you're watching them, and you get so impressed with them, and you think, golly, I would love to talk to that person. It would be fun to meet them and just talk to them about what they do and how they do it. Well, that's my position today, because I've been watching someone perform in front of audiences of 200, 300, 400 people, maybe larger. I couldn't count the individual, but there were a lot of people in the audience. And she's a motivational speaker. And folks, she's fabulous, absolutely fabulous. I referred to her as the female Tony Robbins. If you know who Tony Robbins is, you know what I'm talking about. I kind of think she fits in that category very, very perfectly. And I think you're going to be amazed to listen to her. Her name is Darcy Lange. And if you don't know about Darcy Lange, you're going to want to know more about her. I can tell you that. And by the way, her background is so amazing that she's doing what she's doing, considering what her youth was like. It's pretty amazing. Let me tell you a little bit a story about her. Now, Darcy is a motivational speaker. She's in huge demand to talk to groups, and those who hear her are blown away by her, what she does to motivate them. And I'm talking about large groups of people. And her philosophy is simply she's been a motivational speaker since she was 24 years old. She's a little older than that now. She's been doing this for some 30 years, well, more if you count it when she was 24. She was born in Saskatchewan in Canada in a town of about 2,600 people. Her mother was only 16, so until she was 8 years old, she lived with her dad, who was her first mentor. And she said she got her entrepreneurial blood from her father. He ran a Volkswagen repair shop in the backyard of her home, and she says she grew up working in her dad's garage. That was their livelihood. Both of her parents, amazingly, remarried three times. She grew up in five different families with 10 stepbrothers and sisters. So when she was only 18 with just $200 in her pocket, she packed up her perfectly reconditioned Volkswagen Beetle, and she moved a couple of provinces away to interview for a tuxedo rental company. And from the very first day she was hired, she sought out mentors. She says every day she had a leadership team of some 125 years combined experience. Everybody would ask her all the same question every day. What can I teach you today? What do you want to learn? Accounting? You want to learn shipping? How about receiving? Well, how about helping customers? She said it was the best university she could ever have attended in her life. Pretty soon, at the age of 24, she was running the store. And she convinced the 11th bank she walked into to give her a loan so she could buy her own store. Obviously, she was very, very impressive at a very young age. She got to know the bank manager very well, and in his last year of retirement, he became another mentor for her. He said to her, "You come into this bank and you're genuinely happy. You know everybody's name, you're so kind and loving, but we all know your childhood. What is your secret for success?" And she explained to him her background. Anyway, when she finished talking to him, he said, "I want you to come back here on Friday and tell my staff that message." And she did. That was 28 years ago. Anyway, she has been a motivational speaker ever since. She has had a 100% referral-based motivational speaking business. And now at the relatively young age of just 52, she says it's her duty to be a mentor to others, to pay forward all that was done to her in a spectacular career. And it's just absolutely amazing to have her with us today. I don't know if you've ever spoken to a motivational speaker. I'm sure you've seen them on television. Maybe you've had the opportunity to see someone who really speaks to groups and gets them turned on. That's that's my opportunity today to welcome Darcy Lang to our microphones. By the way, Darcy has a great website. I would encourage you to look at that website. It's amazing, and you'll see her in action. And it's darcylang.com, D-A-R-C-I, Lang, L-A-N-G.com. Go there. You'll be amazed. Darcy, I'm thrilled to have you with us today. How are you? Welcome. By the way, Darcy is in Saskatchewan again. She's in Regina, Saskatchewan. Okay, Darcy, how are you?
Hello. Doug, thank you for that incredible introduction. I am great. The sun is shining in beautiful Canada here today.
Yeah, and you told me just before we went on, the snow outside your house was as high as you are. And you're a pretty tall lady, so there's a lot of snow out there, right?
Well, I'm not a tall lady, so I thought it was funny when you referred to me as a female Tony Robbins. I'm 5 feet tall. He's 6'7". So
yeah,
I am definitely so I'm a foot and a half shorter than him. But thank you for the incredible introduction.
Well, look, if anybody listening is looking at you or does look at you in action, let me just ask you something. I've painted the picture of you standing up on a stage in front of, you know, lots of people, and I know you do this all the time. What's it like to speak to a group like that and have them in the palm of your hand as you do? I mean, you know, all performers know when they're working, when things are clicking, and they're doing a good job, and they know when they're doing a lousy job. I get the impression you turn people on every time you come out to talk. What's it like? Tell me.
Well, in your introduction, you say the people who answered the call. And honestly, Doug, that's what it's like. It's a calling for me. And I know I don't like to do cliche words around calling and passion and such. But the first time I spoke, as you mentioned in the introduction, at 24 years old, it was like it was what I knew I needed to do. But the thing that goes with callings and passions and all the answers that we, the calls that we answer, is that we need to be prepared. So I have spent my entire 28-year career learning how to do that better and different. And the thing about being a motivational speaker is, and something I mentor people all the time, is to be your authentic self. Don't be a different person off stage than you are on, because I'm the same woman in my personal life too.
That's so important. And that's the key. When you're talking to someone, you have to have a message of some sort. By the way, I guess the question is, when they're advertising the fact that you're going to talk to a group, what do they tell them that they're coming to hear or to witness? What brings them in to see you? How do you answer that? How do they advertise you or bill you?
Right. That's a great question. Well, there's two ways that they advertise it. Firstly, my focus on the 90% message is the idea that we hold this big magnifying glass out in front of us, and we have a choice what we focus it on, what I call the 90%, the positive aspects of our life, or the not-so-positive 10%. But the one thing that they'll promote is that this is one idea, one concept. It's not 15 ways. It's not 10 habits. It's one idea. So that really appeals to audiences because life is overwhelming. People go to these conferences and they're motivated till the car ride home, right? But if you give them something that's one tool that not only they can use for the person in the mirror, but they can carry to work and then home to their personal life, that's very appealing. And the second thing they will promote is that I've suffered. And Doug, people like to know that your message, back to real and authentic, is your message is something that you have had to live. And people want proof. That they say that all the time. We want proof that what you do works. I say to them, my life is my proof. I literally have a 100% different life today than I ever dreamed that I would, by waking up in the morning and saying, okay, I know what isn't good, I know what my 10% are, but what is good? So that's the two ways that people really feel intrigued. It's one idea, and oh, she suffers, great, so do I. I'll hear what she has to say.
Well, that's good that you've explained it. So let me ask you, tell us a little bit about your story that I didn't explain. You say you've suffered, but you were obviously very, very talented. You went to work at that store, and you were running it several years later. You're obviously a pretty smart cookie, so to speak. What happened after that? bring us up to date a little bit.
Sure. So I'm 24. My bank manager asked me to speak, and now I'm running my own store and I'm speaking, and I also opened another bridal type business as well. So what is happening is that I'm not only encouraging people to look at their life through a 90% lens, which is really important, but almost as important, Doug, is for people to look at their 10%. Because I noticed what, it doesn't matter how much I stood on stage, and talked about people picking up a magnifying glass and looking at what was good and what they were grateful for and all the blessings in our life, I learned that for some people, that was actually really difficult. And no matter how much I tried to preach it, people just couldn't do it. So I really got smart early in my career to say, okay, hang on. It's one thing to be motivational, but it's an entirely different thing to be real. So I don't think that you can find the blessings and what you're grateful for and all the 90% unless you do the very difficult deep dive work of looking at your 10% first. So that's really what started to happen is my message shift from, you know, more of the rah-rah, everybody go be happy. Mm-hmm, sure. But what about if you're not? What about if you live with real life 10% addictions? If you live with people who have mental health, people have huge lives, Doug. You know, you've interviewed thousands. They have marriage problems, financial problems. Look at the world today. People have problems. So my encouragement is, I hear you. Let's take our magnifying glass out, look at our 10%, but then I have a very strong action plan to start to solve them. So that has been a huge shift for me over my career, is to really encourage people to look at their 10% first before they could ever see all the great things.
Well, you obviously prepared this very, very well. I mean, you sat down and figured out what I can talk to a group about. Do you remember the first time you went on stage and actually spoke to a large group? Were you petrified or not?
Oh,
how'd it go?
My God, of course. Yes, I was terrified. I was terrified. Of course, I always joke that I overcame the number one fear of most humans, right? Public speaking.
Right.
So most
exactly.
Definitely I was terrified. I was 24 years old, and I was. But any time that I feel self-doubt or, you know, as entrepreneurs, you're always going to have 10% experiences. You'll have the doubt. You'll have the self-criticism. But to add to what I like to do is I like people clearly to look at their life through a 90% lens. But then I want them to look at their 10%, as I said. Look at what's holding you back from seeing what your life, what is good in your life. But then I also want people to look at their own self-doubts, their own 10%. Why are you scared? Why are you loathing? Why do you, you know, are you, again, having self-doubt about your business? Take a very deep dive, introspective look on why. Like, why do I feel this way? Is it because of a past experience as a child? Because, again, I've had trauma and a lot of things I've had to unpack. Is it because of a label we were given as a child? I grew up with nothing, so I was labeled trailer park and not smart, which wasn't true. Is it because of a belief system that we believe we can't do these things? So I always joke, Doug, pray you never get stuck with me on an airplane because I'll unpack your entire belief system on the flight because I'm all about why. My dad said I've been asking why since I could talk. Why do you act the way you do? Why do you talk the way you do? Why are you scared? And what can you do, person in the mirror, to face that? And I have a 3-times complain rule, and I call it 3-times complain, and then I call it lay that sucker out. But I think it's important we talk about how we feel, we talk about our 10%, but then we lay them out and get an action plan in place to say, okay, out of the things that are holding me back in my life, the things that I complain about, what can I do, person in the mirror, to sort through what I can control and what I can't, and an action plan to do something about it.
Well, let me ask you. I've never spoken to a motivational speaker before like you, okay?
Wow.
So tell me, what made you decide that this is something you could do and actually making a living out of doing it? I mean, I would ask Tony Robbins the same thing. What made you think you could do this and be successful? And why do that? Why not continue running, you know, running a shop or a store or working at a bank? Where did you get the feeling that this is really what you were made to do?
from the referral, because when I was first speaking, starting out at 24, I was doing it part-time because, again, I was running a store and I was a busy young woman. But then I would go and speak and then amongst that, and then I would get so much tremendous feedback on what people actually did with the message. Because it's, again, it's one thing to go home from the conference and say, oh, she was great, what'd she say, I don't know. But it's another thing to go home and actually do something with it. And I say, Doug, if I run into you in the grocery store and someone will say, as I'm blessed that they do, oh, I saw you speak and it was great. I say, thank you so much for the compliment, because it takes some people a lifetime to be kind to other people. So thank you for that. But then I always ask them the same thing. What did you do with it? Like, thank you so much. Appreciate that. But were you able to take this one magnifying glass idea and actually look at the person in the mirror and figure out what your 10% are and solve them? And then were you able to take that magnifying glass to work and start being more grateful for the work and kinder to your coworkers? And most importantly, did you leave the conference, drive home, and were you kinder to the people that you love? That's what I want to know. And so, Doug, to answer your question, when people started to say, I did something with it, and it became a 100% referral, phone ringing off the hook business, I recognize, okay, hang on, this is definitely a calling, and that here I am.
How about that? And your message has basically been the same the whole time, focus on the 90%? Would that be about right?
That's right, yes, and it becomes a branding for me. So, yes, I have focus on the 90%, which is my base message, but then I always say for each group I make it for, you know, whoever the audience is, I will customize it so it can be for nurses, for doctors, for teachers, you know, oil workers, whatever the audience is.
So you have a specific message form. It's pretty interesting. I know you help empower the people who are listening to you to develop the skills that they need to be successful, build more positive work relationships, how to cope with negative people. These are just some of the subjects you talk about. It's pretty impressive. And it really depends on who you're speaking to as to what that message will be. But the underlying basis is focus on the 90%, right? You mix them both, I gather, a little bit of everything. Right?
Correct. And I also learn a lot, as I know you are very curious about people as well. I'm very curious about people. And I want to learn as much about this audience that's standing in front of me, because I don't want this to be some canned motivational speech about, oh, everybody should just pick up a magnifying glass and go be happy. That's not reality. Some audience have, again, some very real 10%. And I'm not glossing over for a second that those things aren't real for them. And I'm all about going there and facing them. But again, I don't want to do that more than 3 times. Because life goes by really quickly. Like, what is the point of staying focused on all these 10% things you can't control? And if you can, lay them out, do something about it, and then go live your empowered life. But we get stuck, and it becomes a habit to see what isn't good. And for me, I just want my audiences to break free from that and say, okay, but what is? What is good today?
Wow. You know, in addition to speaking, you've written 3 different books, I guess all on this basic subject, that the 90% is in the title of the 3 different books. Talk a little bit about writing books. Did you ever, in your wildest dream, think you'd write a book? I'm sure when you were younger, you didn't. Right?
Oh, Doug, you have no idea. Absolutely not. Oh, I barely made it out of high school. And we didn't grow up in a family with any means, or I never had a post-secondary education conversation with anyone in my life. So going out and getting a job is what you did, maybe because it was 1987, but we went and got a job, and that's what you did. And whether or not you were happy or fulfilled or any of those things, that didn't even come into the conversation. So the fact that I would, to think that I would have not only this job, but the ability to be smart enough to write those books, never in a million years would I have dreamt that. But I am so, yes, I have my first book, Focus on the 90%, which is the base message. Then I have a second book, Live the 90%, which is unpacks a little bit more of how to fully live the message. And then I do have a leadership book as well, Lead the 90%, which it's very important to me for people to understand the power that leaders have. And my book is called Kind Leadership, Doug, because I think kindness is the most important thing.
Wow. Tell me a little bit, by the way, the books, are they available? Are they like on Amazon, something like that?
You bet. They're available everywhere.
The book.
Thank you for doing that. Yeah, and of course on my website as well.
Okay. Again, Darcy's website is her name. It's Darcy, D-A-R-C-I, Lang.com. If you go there, you'll find out how to get her books. I would imagine they are fabulous books, tell you the truth. But they're also on Amazon, everybody, so make note of that. Tell me a little bit about the kinds of groups you talk to. Are they basically corporations that bring you in to speak to their employees, or does it vary widely? How would you answer that?
Yes, it varies widely, and because my business is so referral-based, it's often one bank or one credit union or one grocery store will hire me and in one province, and then they'll tell their friends in the other provinces. So I do a lot of that because, again, not being highly referral-based. So that's what I do, a lot of that. But to answer your question, I have, I would say, a 50-50 split of doing big conference work, and the other 50 is doing staff training. So people will have me come to their actual company, create a retreat for the staff or a beautiful meal, and then they'll have me come and share this tool for their personal and professional toolbox. And I'm very blessed to say the feedback is very positive, because not only is it a message, like I've been saying, not only is it a message to help them at work, it's a message that helps them on their own, again, personal journey and in their personal life. And when an employer brings in a speaker that isn't just about sales and targets and marketing, the staff feel very cared for. They feel like, hang on, so you care about me as a human, not just as an employee? That is highly marketable right now, especially right now when people are exhausted. Like, they've had a very difficult couple of years pivoting and shifting, and they are tired, and they need somebody to fill their toolbox back up.
You mentioned something interesting. Obviously, COVID has been a major issue for the last at least 2 years. How has that impacted what you do? I know, obviously, you can do this on Zoom calls or do it in webinars. Would that be right?
Correct. Yes, we have pivoted to all things online, and now I'm very excited that the world is starting to open up and we'll be back on the stage. But it gave me ample opportunity the last couple of years to practice what I preach, didn't it? That there was so many 10% that I had no control over. And I am blessed, Doug. My admin assistant and I have worked together for 28 years. And we're a very well-oiled machine, but we threw the machine away and put a brand new one on the track. And we have just done what needed to be done. People fought what they didn't want to happen for the last 2 years. I said, get on the train and put wheels on it and paint it and put seats in it as it's speeding 1,000 miles down the track and just get it done. Quit sitting around complaining about what it was used to be like, and focus on what can I do, person in the mirror, to embrace what's happening here and bring my best self. That's what we needed to do.
Well, it's so interesting and inspirational to hear somebody talk to you about speaking to groups, helping them motivate them to be happy and motivated and motivating, and to get them to bring them their best selves out, which is a great message, and it's not easy to do. I would imagine you get some pretty amazing questions back. Do you take questions when you speak to groups?
Oh, I love questions. I love questions because people are challenged by the 10%, and they want to, is it true? Like, could we actually not use that as our focus and deep dive on why? Because in order to change the conference, the company, the community, we have to change each person in the mirror. I can't take an auditorium of 300 people unless they walk out and do something with it. And when people say I have morale and I have all these issues, I say, if you boil down your morale issues and your family issues and all that goes on with life, it's really only 10%. There's really only one or two people or 10 people in your organization that are causing the challenge. But we don't do enough to go there and say, am I really letting these 10% of my life rent so much space that I'm not willing to say, do something about it, and then move physically, mentally, spiritually, and psychologically to, okay, what is still good? And what am I grateful for? We are alive. We're healthy. We have jobs. You and I, you know, we have roofs over our head. Those are all the biggest blessings in the world right now. Do we talk enough about that? Do we celebrate that? Have we celebrated all that our staff have gone through over these last 2 years? I think that's really important right now, Doug.
What a great message. What's your life like? I mean, typically, give me a picture of, I mean, are you up on an airplane every other day flying somewhere to make an address? Can you live the life you preach to your audiences? Talk about that a little bit.
Yes. Lord, no, if I was on an airplane every other day. No. I'm married 26 years to my handsome farm boy. We have adult children and pets and a house and businesses, and we are busy. But Doug, and we could do another half an hour on this, but I live what I preach. I do not complain about being imbalanced, overworked, tired and exhausted, dragging my half-dead self home more than 3 times without laying it out and saying, okay, stop. What do you need to do to create the life you say it in the intro, to live an empowered life. So absolutely not. I'm gone one night a week. I will do 2 cities in a week, but I try not to be gone more than one night. I only travel spring and fall, and I take the entire summer off, and I always have with my children.
Well, that's pretty cool. That's great. Good for you. Do you, by the way, I know most of your speeches are in Canada. Do you come down into the States and talk down here?
Not as much. Most of my U.S. work is virtual.
Okay. Well, we got to change that. There should be a reason. No kidding. I mean, come on. Are there many people, competition is not the word, but are there many motivational speakers that you would consider, doing the kind of thing you do?
You bet. And part of the reason, there is a lot of us, but part of the reason I don't come to the U.S., Doug, is because I'm so blessed with business up here in Canada, and I can't possibly balance more than I'm doing, lucky me. But there is lots of us. And if I could say anything to those who are interested in this business, be yourself. Don't come in, I can't be Tony Robbins. I have to be authentically who I am. And like we've said many times, bring your real stories. It's time we start talking about our 10% more, not numbing them. Let's talk about what's real for us and how we've healed from it, and then go empower everybody else to live the same way. It goes so quickly. Look, Doug, I used to sit on the couch and watch People's Court in high school with my mom and dad. and here we are on the phone. Look how fast that went.
How about that? Well, Darcy, it's been great talking to you. I'm so envious that I've had this opportunity. I wish I could see you in person, and maybe one of these days I'll get to attend one of your speeches. I'm sure it would be unforgettable. That's about the best way I can put it, unforgettable. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking to Darcy Lange. She's an amazing motivational speaker. And remember now, she has this great website, darcylange.com. If you go there, you'll learn more about her story. It's an amazing story. And you'll find out about her books and learn how to get the books if you would like. Also, they're available on Amazon. Darcy, thanks for taking the time with us. It's been great. I loved having you as a guest. All righty? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you.
You are very welcome. And that's it for today, everybody. Thanks for being with us. See you next time. Till then, bye-bye.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
That we do. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time, everybody. Till then, take care. Bye for now. Darcy, you were wonderful. Thank you so much. This was great. Really good. Ooh, that's good to know. Well, thank you. I'll get the word out to him. Okay? Thank you, ma'am. It was delightful chatting with you. I'm seriously, I mean this. I love talking to you. It was great. I'm really impressed. So, okay. Have a good day now. Okay, bye-bye.